with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
Yes TV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show on this Tuesday, the 2nd of April. It's wonderful to have you with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. I hope you had a wonderful long weekend. What did you do this long weekend? Did you go to church? If you're Christian and you observe Easter, I went to church to mark the resurrection of Jesus. 3 days after his death by crucifixion. It was wonderful. How was yours? How did you spend it? Did you see family at home? Did you go away with your family? Did you go to church? Did you go to Moria? If you're a member of the St. Angenas Zion Christian Church, that's ZCC. 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the 702 open line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Oh, and congratulations to Sekhukhune United. Abel, I need silence now, because they'll accuse me of not congratulating Sekhukhune. Let's take time to congratulate Sekhukhune United for winning 2-1 against Orlando Pirates this weekend. You know what I always pray for when I pray for Pirates? It's consistency. Because I really think we struggle with that. How do we move from a string of wins, from great victory in the derby, to losing a game like that on Saturday? We've now come out of the top three on the DStv Premiership table. We've dropped to fourth. So what are the chances that we'll even finish in the top two? Huh? Anyway, that's it. I hope we're not going to waste time on the open line discussing these old news. We're a serious station and a serious show, okay? We can't be making too much noise about things that happened 3 days ago. Huh? We agree? Wonderful. Thank you.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702. That's the WhatsApp line. That's the number to call. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Oh, well, Clement, did you have to bring the Sekhukhune issue now? I mean, we have long forgotten. It was Saturday. There was even a Monday, which was a holiday. A lot has happened, man. Come on, there is no Sivuya Pisanqakula's case today. The guy who ran on Zuma's car is in today. I mean, Saturday is just long gone. Just give Orlando Pirates some space, Supreme, man. We will come back. Spiso, just back.
Spiso, they're going to come after me. They're going to come for me if I don't acknowledge the loss. Because every time we win, we go crazy about it. So I just thought, let me mention it. Well done, Sekhukhune. Orlando Pirates, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's do better, because we can do better. Let's be consistent. My goodness. But I think that's it. It's old news. Let's move on.
I want to comment on Paul Culture, Pretoria. Ngolosihlanu bengilapha emthunzini kwamhlanga ngidishe kamnandi neGugu's FM celebrating for the 41 year birthday Gugu's FM. Ngomgcibelo ongakhamba ngayanga eMamelodi ekunomthatho lapho ngoraga kamnandi khulu nje SOMC. So yeah, ngikunjalo nje, nothing much. Malanga amabili lasele ko Sunday and Monday ngilehle kamnandi nomndeni. Umzimba umehluso kuyijosi.
That's Isindebele. He's saying that he rested yesterday with the family. He went to a wedding this weekend and he was the MC. So he's enjoyed his Easter weekend. That's amazing. Siyathokoza. Sithokoze kakhulu futhi. Thank you for your WhatsApp voice note. It's 14 after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Oh, here's something to be happy about. Can we take some time to appreciate Thandiso Mazwai, who is one of our most incredible artists in South Africa? Her Tiny Desk concert is now out. Have you watched it? What did you think of it? So Tiny Desk, if you don't know, is an American video series of live concerts, NPR music. It's a platform leading digital innovation. It's so popular. So they bring in artists and they perform for about 15 to 30 minutes, live performances. And I just think we must all make time to go watch it and support her. She's raising the South African flag. So if you get a moment, please go check it out. I haven't watched it, the full version of it yet, but I'll be making some time to watch it this week.
Tiny Desk, thank you for having us. My name is Thandiso Mazwai. This first song, we're going to dedicate it to the beautiful and the ever resilient people of South Africa. And I want to say to my people at home, Diabulela, Nindenze Umtu Emazweni. Diabulela kakhulu abakhoya apha endlini. Diabulela, siyabulela.
So that's just a snippet of Thandiso Mazwai's live performance on Tiny Desk. You can just Google it, Thandiso Mazwai, Tiny Desk. Let's go check it out and support her. It's 17 minutes now after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Magnatella
on 702.
19 minutes after 9 o'clock. So there's another scandal at Curo. Yeah. And I want to, I'll tell you about the scandal in a moment, but I'm interested to know if you worry about where you take your kids to school, especially the private schools. Like, what do you consider before you select a private school to which you send your children? So Curo Holdings has retracted a post depicting racial stereotypes because they've received backlash on social media. So in this post, if you haven't seen it, the private school showcased children in a number of careers, but there was uproar over Curo's messaging and what the school was trying to imply. So on the pictures that I've seen, and I'll retweet, you know, some of the pictures that Curo had posted. You see white children being dressed as vets. And then you've got the picture of a black child playing the role of a cashier at a supermarket. And there's a picture of a white person, of course, purchasing something from this black child who's playing the role of a cashier. And I see a lot of people have been divided by those pictures. Now, Curo has retracted the post, and they said an internal process would be followed to prevent similar errors. In fact, they sent us a statement that I'll read to you. Let me just find it now. So it says, and I quote here, Curo Holdings acknowledges that a post we published on social media portraying children in various workplace contexts was offensive due to the inappropriate stereotypes it depicted. The post was in error and has been deleted. We apologize for the offense caused, and we are truly urgently following our internal processes to understand fully the circumstances of the post to ensure that such an error is not repeated in the future. Curo reiterates its commitment to diversity and non-racialism in our school. So that's the statement that Curo has sent out. There's a picture that I've also seen of a young little boy who is riding a scooter. You know, those, you know, like Checkers 60-minute scooters, those deliveries. There's a child there who's riding like a small one. I don't know if this was linked to the Curo pictures, but it appears so. But there's also that picture of a child who is a white child who's being portrayed as a vet. There's a black child who's portrayed as a cashier at a supermarket. Now, when I saw this, obviously you don't get surprised anymore in South Africa when you see things like this, especially with Curo and other institutions. I mean, recently Curo suspended a teacher who had slurred, you know, racial slurs I think it was earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken. Racial slurs that this teacher said towards three black learners, referring to them as monkeys. So the teacher has since been fired by Kuro. And when she was hurling these racial slurs, apparently she was unhappy because the learners had a disruptive behavior in the classroom. Now, this is not the only thing. This is not something that is only unique to Kuro. If we're being honest, there are many institutions, whether in our schools, in academia, in the private sector, in other settings, that are not transformed. And that is why we're always going to deal with instances like this, where even in the checks and balances, there is great failure for people to actually realize how offensive some of the things they post are. Remember the Tresemme products that Clicks took off their shelves at some point? Remember they told us at some point that their employees that were involved in the publishing of that offensive and racist ad, which compared black hair unfavorably to white hair, were going to go through a disciplinary hearing. Remember we spoke to Nonkululeko Kobote at the time, who was an independent non-executive director at Clicks Group. Now, the question I'm asking you this morning is, one, how deliberate are you about where you take your kids to school? So when you are sending your kids to these private schools, are you a type of a guardian, a parent who checks how liberal the curriculum is, for instance? So when you send your kids to these institutions, do you check how transformed they are? Do you worry about the institution's track record around racism? Like, do you check how liberal, for instance, the teachers are? Give me a call on 011-883-0702. You can send me a WhatsApp voice note as well on 072-702-1702. And I'm asking this question because I've seen some teachers, some parents post and raise concerns about where they're taking their children to school. There are other people that are also beginning to claim, well, you see what happens when you take your kids to these private schools? I mean, not all private schools have got teachers who say all these racist things to the learners. Not all private schools have got systems in place where they're unable to figure out if something is going to be offensive. There are good, rigorous checks and balances. But there are others where, yes, the education is quite incredible, right? The value of the education, the teaching, that's excellent, par excellence. But when you look at the curriculum of the institution, when you look at the culture of that institution, that doesn't bode well for the learners. Doesn't bode well for your child who's black in that institution. So how conscious are you? And maybe you've gone to institutions where racism was not a big deal, where you were made to feel you do not matter, where things were posted or things were said without regarding how stereotypical they are. 011-883-0702. Send your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Got a message here on the WhatsApp line from Anonymous who says, Clement, there are no white people as cashiers in South Africa at any shop I've been in over 30 years. So what is so inaccurate about a photo showing this? There's a reason why you do not see white people. I mean, there are some white people. I've seen white people who are cashiers in some stores. That is not, of course, something that is quite normal in the context of South Africa. But I've been to places where, and it's very, very few places where I've seen a white person who is a cashier, probably one or two places I have seen. But I agree with you, that's not a norm in South Africa. But there's a reason why that is the case. And because there's a reason why that is the case, that context is important in how we shape children and what the potential is for their careers in the future. So the fact that historically most of the security guards were black, the fact that historically most of the cashiers were black and are black doesn't mean that's the picture we are forced to portray. And I have a problem with us looking at where we come from and the opportunities that black people have not the opportunity to accept, to access. And then we use that as the basis to determine what the future of young black children is going to be. And I think that is unacceptable because things have changed. We live in a non-racial society. We live in a democratic society, constitutional democracy. And therefore, things are different. We, as black people, now have opportunities we never used to have. So we are no longer only have options of specific jobs that historically were the jobs that only black people could do. And it's representation matters. And the foundation phase of learners, I mean, these are kids who are what, 5, 6, 7 years of age? That's the most important time. How do they see themselves? How you portray them? That impacts on how they see themselves and people who look like them. So I think there is greater responsibility on institutions to start portraying black people as people who actually have, they can also be vets, they can also be doctors. They don't need to be portrayed as people who are driving scooters, making deliveries, people who are cashiers in stores. That's not what should be the norm. Let me know what your thoughts are on 011-883-0702. And the broader question, again, I'm asking is, how conscious are you of where you send your children to school? Do you check the policy? Do you check the culture? Do you check how liberal the teachers are? Do you look at the curriculum? Or do you only care about the quality of education?
Good morning, Clement. I trust you well, man. You know, I think for most black people, the idea of private education was sold, but it was never really a good sell, you know. We have really good teachers in our public schools and all of that, you know. Of course, not all of them, and of course it's difficult for kids to learn in some instances when there are 50 in a class. But the reality is, man, most of these things that us black people who are in a certain tax bracket in terms of work or lifestyle, we were sold a dream that's not for us, and it doesn't serve us, let alone our children.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
9:33.
Morning, Clement, Madimech, and Norman. I think this Kuro thing has been blown out of proportion, in a sense that I don't see anything wrong with that career day. I mean, I work in Linwood. You go to Linwood Bridge. There's a meat deli shop. All cashiers are white. You go to Cullinan Spa. You find white cashiers. You go to Bronco Spray. You go to boutique shops in Main Lane. They are white cashiers. So I don't know why people are saying there are no white cashiers. They've never seen them. Maybe they might say they have never seen them in ShopRite, in Spa, where largely black people shop. But go to other stores, you'll find white cashiers. I don't know why you are blowing this out of proportion. Mpo from Linwood.
Okay, Mpo thinks this is being blown out of proportion. What do you think? I think we need to be very intentional, because we understand the context and the history of this country. Like, I'm intentional about diversity in the content I do on the show. I'm intentional about diversity and representation in the guests I have on the show. So if I feel like we're having a conversation and all we have are white guests, I engage the producers on that. Or if it's all males, I ask, why don't we have a female? in the three guests that we have? Why is it just all black males or all white males or black and white males? And that's because you need to be intentional about these things. When you post a picture, especially for an institution like Curo that has had racism and stereotypes scandals over the years, they have to be even more extra careful about what they put out on social media and how that may be viewed. So I think intention is quite important. So when you even do a picture like that you're going to post at Curo, where you're making a black child a cashier and you're making the white child someone who comes and is shopping there because they are a vet, they are a doctor, that speaks to the stereotypes. But if you're intentional, you're able to find a way to portray that image differently without playing into what historically has been the picture for black and white people in this country. I just think we need to be intentional, all of us. Intentional about where you spend your money. Intentional about the businesses you support. Intentional about your team. How diverse is your team? Huh? And sometimes people don't care about that. Because they think when you talk about diversity, when you talk about inclusion and representation, they think, oh, you just don't want merit. You just want people to be brought in because, oh, this is someone who identifies as colored, or this is someone who is a member of the LGBTQI plus community, or this is someone who is black. No, that doesn't mean you compromise on merit. Doesn't mean that. It means you're intentional about going to find people, because there are many people out there who will have the skills you're looking for. There's a female out there who can do that job. And if you're intentional about it, you make time, you go, you find the right people for that. Doesn't mean you compromise on the merit. And that's the intention I'm referring to. Thembisa, you're calling us from Johannesburg. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, Clement. Your thoughts are, you know, they hurt me. I get emotional. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Thembisa.
Ago, my granddaughter went to this institution. It was a preschool. And at the end of the year, they had a closing party. You know, in that play, the children had, she was the only one who was a maid. And the other nations were either doctors, queens, pilots. You know, I felt so bad. I felt so bad. And I never expected that institution to be like that. Because it was a religious institution. I thought they were non-racial. So, yeah, your topic, it touches me in a very bad way. And fast forward to that, you know, that's how I didn't, you know, it hurt me that I took her to school to again another institution, a religious institution. And then my child, my granddaughter was so negative. I was surprised. What's wrong? What's wrong? But through the mercy of God, she is something today. That school didn't break him. I only catch up later when we have a conversation that it was bad for the children. It was horrible. I'm sorry to be emotional. But
no, no. Don't apologize, you know, for being emotional. It's okay.
Yeah, you know, just last week, Clement, I was looking at those pictures of that play in the preschool. I tore them up and my heart was bleeding. How could I have not known that that is not the right place for the child? Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
How did your child feel when she was given that role as a maid? Because children are also innocent, Thembisa. They don't know much, right? So they see, oh, you are the black child. You're going to be the maid in this play. And they get excited. They don't know. Did you explain at a later stage? Did you get a sense of how she somehow felt about that? I don't know how old she was at the time.
She was plus minus 5 years. You know, Clement, me and my daughter and the father, we felt it, but we didn't want to transfer it to her because she was just an innocent child involved in a play. But parents must be careful when they take their children.
Did you raise it with the institution and demand answers?
I didn't. things, you know, that was very bad of me.
It's okay. I mean, we've got lessons, Tembis, and I think, and I know that not all of us have got the energy to go and fight the battles on behalf of our children. But I think where possible, we have to think about what we can do individually. Even if we don't involve our children. You know, a five-year-old child doesn't know that mommy has a meeting or daddy has a meeting with the school principal about the play where the black kid was made a maid. And that's not to say in plays you shouldn't have that. But it's how you position things like that. Like, I'm interested to know, what's the reason? How did you select this black child to play a maid? Did you ever consider a white person playing a maid? We are playing into the stereotypes. And we need to take up the battle on behalf of our children. And if you're, and I understand if you're a parent who is non-confrontational. I understand if you're a parent who feels, I don't have the energy for this. Find a sister, find a friend, find your cousin who can take that matter up, because what you are doing through that process, you're not only saving your child, you're saving future generations, people that are going to come onto that school, and that school is going to be extra cautious on how it represents black people. Tembi St. Joburg, thank you for your call. Kustas in Midrand, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, yo, morning, Kevin Clement. This hurts me a lot because I do not think that we recognize the amount of damage that is done to African kids who go to these schools in terms of their self-esteem. And this private school is going to have a responsibility to choose the teachers well. My son, Clement, when I recognized that his self-esteem was going down, he was in Newcastle then. And then I asked him, I was sending him back, and he started crying. I said, why are you crying? He says, this kid was bullying him. I said, okay, the teacher was a Caucasian. And he was small then, but he was bigger in stature. So I said, did you tell so-and-so? Yes. How many times did it? Okay. He told me. I said, when was the last time? I took the teacher. Then I said, okay, look, this is what you're going to do. We're going to sort if that's the right way, the traditional way. Mm-hmm. You get to school, and you make sure you beat that kid, and they will call me. When they called you, you must tell that I gave you the permission to do so.
Mm.
And the school did. And this thing happened at school again. So he beat the other kid so much that the principal called. When he called, I said, on this particular date, 1, 2, 3, 4, my kid reported to this teacher that he was being bullied by this kid. You did not do something about it. So there is no way now that you're crying foul. When he is complaining, you don't hear him. Now, in short, this is my message. Is that the private school teachers, Clement, at that ground level, grade R, 1, 2, 3, do you know that they know that the damage that they're doing to these kids when they put a kid behind the cashier, they know what they're doing and the self-esteem that they're injecting to that kid. And here's my message to African parents. Yeah, if you're going to take your kid to a Caucasian school, you better quickly get informed. You better ask that kid every day how did the school went. How did they treat you right? Yes. No, you have to know these details. If you're a parent who is not involved with your kid, you will raise the kid without a self-esteem.
Mm.
And guess what? If you don't know why they are so low in self-esteem, because at school, that teacher who has a prejudice in her heart is allowed to get away with so many things. You gotta encourage your kids to talk. If you don't give them the voice to talk, to share how they feel, what happened in school, it's a damage. So in short, I'm just trying to say that we have to look into this. Parents have to get involved, particularly African parents, because this is your child, this is the next generation. And Caucasians don't feel this thing because they don't get down on their kids. Mm-hmm. And I like how they are. If it's done to their kids, Clement, the school goes to a standstill. But they have to go to a standstill for a brown child as well. So it's very painful, and it hurts me, Clement, because it's huge. It's white. And guess what? At the adult age, we're treated well by Caucasians, but at the ground age, that is not the case. That is absolutely not the case. So, Clement, it is a clue, but I hope all parents could get involved with their kids. If you're going to send your kid to Caucasian school, beat it. I mean, beat it all the way, because I can tell you, those teachers there, aren't all of them good. I leave it there. Thank you.
Yeah, Kustas, thank you, man. I can hear your frustration there in your voice. I appreciate you calling us and sharing your experience. with us. And this is not to suggest that these things only happen at private schools, right? I mean, we're using Curo here as a case in point because of the recent incident that's happened. But the broader question I was asking, well, the point I was making earlier, we are dealing with institutions that haven't fully transformed. In public schools, there are the public schools where you see cases of racism, where you see cases where stereotypes are at full play. How involved are you as a parent? Huh? Are you a parent that just sends the kids to school? You don't know. Hmm? The ratio of teachers, how many are female, how many are black, how many are male. You don't know how liberal the curriculum is. Hmm? You don't go to the plays, sports. We need to be very involved because we are dealing with people, some of whom are not going to be liberal in their thinking. They're not to be not going to be understanding in the context of this country and where we come from. And as a parent, that's your responsibility to come in and fight for your kids and fight for the future kids that will be coming to that school. Paulos, you're calling from Springs. Good morning.
Hi, Matt. How's it going, my good man? Are you good?
I'm all right, man.
Listen, I think it's time. Maybe let me just use the word manufacturing as a context to lay out my context. It's time that we must be angry enough, Clement, to start building things of our own. Where do they get this buying power to start with? I mean, this white private organization getting this buying power from us as a black nation. But you know what we do? We go all out trying to be confrontational, confronting these people about the racism issues that we have forever, that we have always been seeing all along. I mean, we know Curo, it's quite prevalent. The issue of Curo is quite prevalent. We have had so many incidents that have just continually occurring and reoccurring and occurring and whatnot. So I think it's time now that we start building something of our own, Clement. And when I say building something of our own, I'm not saying we're building something that says black only, but I'm saying as a black nation, we are smart enough and capable enough to build something of our own instead of chasing after these people all the way. You know, every time we see where there's white faces, here we are, we are there, we want to be there because we think they are better than what we can do. I think that's my problem, Clement. I think that if we find a way to deal with this fundamental issue, we will be better off, I can tell you now. We won't be mourning and complaining and speaking about people discriminating against us. I think there's a sense of entitlement just somehow from us as black people.
Mm. Well, Paulus in Springs, thank you for your contribution. Sizwe Asana actually started build. When you talk about building schools, that's something that he did. He's got an institution called Future Nation Schools, which is an incredible concept. I've had him on the show where he was just explaining, it was a hanging out feature, but, you know, parts of that conversation was about the Future Nation Schools and the kind of pupils that the schools are producing. Because they want to look at children who are leaders, who are innovators, who are ready for the future. And the schools are quite different from our traditional schools. You know, the teachers there teach subjects, you know, that, and they're using the African context. So that they emphasize a lot the Africanized education system. Africanized and value-based education. That's what they emphasize. Even when I had his wife recently on the show, we discussed why they have passion for that. Which is quite interesting. So I think you're beginning to see that, and maybe not at the rate that we should be seeing, but people that are building alternative institutions where black people can go and they still get good quality education. But they also don't feel like their blackness is policed, where they feel they're still valued. Let's go to the WhatsApp voice notes.
Hi, Clement, Rian here. Regarding the Curo matter, probably 99% of all people working at till points in this country are not white, coloureds, Indians, blacks. Doesn't matter, it's a good paying job, I guess. It's a job. Those people also, mostly women, do have children. And if you put children in a room and you give them 10 work scenarios to choose from, they will most probably choose what their parents are doing. It's just like what children do. So I think this is total sensationalism, and it's nonsense. I think it's taken out of context. Cheers.
So what's our responsibility as teachers when kids are choosing what their parents do? Do you just let them do that? Or do you say, hey, I know that your mom is a domestic worker, or I know that your sister works as a cashier at the supermarket. But those are not the limited options you have. Come on, you can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be an artist. You can be a designer. That's what a teacher's responsibility is supposed to be. Of course, as children, we mirror society. We mirror what society gives us. We mirror what we see at home. So if at home I don't have a doctor, we don't have a lawyer, and all I see are, oh, that person is a cashier, that person is this and that, that's what I'm going to replicate in one form or the other when I'm in the education system and I'm asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? But what's your responsibility as a teacher? Do you let them act out that because that's what they know at home? Or do you say, there are many more options. There's more you can become. There's a reason you're in this education system, because we want to see you ending up with a profession that you are passionate about, not a job that you do because that's all you've seen growing up. So no, I'm not convinced by that argument. But thank you for the contribution. Here's another one.
Hi, Clement. Very, very important discussion. I think the other question should be asked to the institutions themselves. How conscious are they when they employ teachers of the need to conscientize them to be even when they treat children, to be mindful of the images they show to children about what possibilities there are for them in the future? Because a lot of these teachers, and I'm referring to white kid teachers, maybe other colors as well, they come from cultural silos where things were said about other people that are not correct and that nobody questioned, pushed back against. So they go into these institutions with those preconceived ideas, thinking that they are the norm. And sometimes probably people don't mean to do harm, but they carry these things in themselves that they grew up with that they don't realize are really not good for building social harmony. So institutions have a responsibility to check on these things, provide training, coaching to the people they employ.
Mm. Lisedi, you're calling from Pretoria. Good morning.
Hello, Clement.
Hello.
You know, I'm baffled by people who are calling and saying it's no big deal. The Gen 2 was on WhatsApp not so long ago. When parents take their children to school, now I went to digital primary school, Gomakhulereng. My kids are not in a school that looks like digital, because I wanted to sort of level up. I wanted to take them to the school that I thought will teach them better. They are institutions of learning where you groom a child to do, to want to be better. So if you take your child to a school, even if I'm a domestic worker, I don't aspire for my kid to be another domestic worker. I want them to do better. I want them to be better. I want them to level up in life. So we cannot, as a people, come onto the radio station with the ability to buy airtime to come and speak the kind of English that we speak, and we say it's no big deal. And I want to appeal to my people, black people in particular. We mustn't be the first people to apologize for fellow people who are non-African, who come and make mistakes and say, no, they didn't mean it that way. The minute we stop acting against such people, we seem to be affirming their stance. We seem to be saying that it's okay for them to act in a manner that they are acting. We must act that. Only when we smell it, we must act against it. That's how we'll make a difference. Kira is not doing these mistakes because they just think, it's a mistake. When you make a mistake once and you are made to feel comfortable in your mistake, it'll happen again. It's been, you know, my son, my 14-year-old and I were speaking about Kuro just last week. And I told him, there's no way that I would have even thought of enrolling you in that school. And I gave him my reasons. But the point of it all is that, as parents, like you said earlier on, be intentional about what you want for your kids. Be intentional about the kind of school that you take your children to and get involved. It's difficult, I know, for most people because we are all busy. But find a way of really finding out. But this thing, particularly Lena would die, you're, no, they didn't mean it like that. Like, guys, let's be intentional about wanting better for our kids. And let's stop this. We are just so colonized as a people. Still, Rena, the so-called middle class. Guys, please, just do better.
Yeah, that's an appeal from Lesedi in Pretoria. Do better. Thank you for the call, Lesedi. Some more WhatsApp voice notes.
Morning, Clement. I think we need to be very careful about downplaying the importance of critical jobs like cashiers and scooter drivers and domestic workers. I mean, what is, if there's an uproar about a picture of a cashier, what message does it send to the millions of cashiers out there? That their job's not important or not good enough? We all can't be vets and doctors, and black or white. I just think those jobs are critical jobs. And I think they shouldn't be downplayed.
Look, I mean, why are we trying to justify? Nobody has ever spoken since we started this conversation about cashiers not being important enough jobs. I don't remember anybody even making that statement. I don't know of anybody who goes to school and has got dreams, and all they want to do is, oh, one day I just want to be a cashier. I just want to be someone who's going to be deliver groceries. No. The reason, as that other person said, 90% of the time, the black people are cashiers. There's a reason behind that. The high levels of unemployment, the opportunities that do not exist for many of them. They never got an opportunity to go and study. Is there a course that you know of that someone can go, oh, I dream of being, one day I want to be a cashier. I'm going to go to Wits. I'm going to go to, nearly said Damlin. What else? I'm going to go to Rosebank College. I'm going to study to be a cashier because it's my dream job. I grew up, when I finished matric, my mom said, you have to go get a driver's license. And I said, why? He says, because if anything fails, I want you to be able to at least go, like I must go drive trucks. That's why we don't go and get a code 8. Is it code 8? Driver's license. We don't go and get a code 8, many of us. We go and get a code 10. Because historically, that's where our opportunities are. If the proverbial ish hits the fan, at least you can go drive trucks. At least you can go drive taxis. At least you can, you know how many cousins go and they go do security, a certificate for security. Why? Because of the opportunities that are so scarce, because of the opportunities that are not available for some of them to even go to school. So nobody's downplaying the work of a cashier here. But we're saying one, that's not what people dream to be. So let's give people more opportunities, more resources. Let's show them what is possible, especially when they're in the school system. But two, no matter how amazing that cashier job, you want to argue it is for people who do it, that doesn't mean that you must make black people as a representation. That doesn't mean it's black people who must, this is what you people do. And you do that by failing to acknowledge and be responsible in how you portray things as an institution. If you're showing a black person as a cashier because 90% of them are black, and a white person is a vet and is there to buy from the cashier, you are playing to the stereotypes. And that has got to change. Hence I'm saying, let's be